Hey everybody, welcome back to Thin Line Believers Podcast. Adam and Steve with you today, and we thought we'd just we'd talk about a topic that's been on our heart. It actually came up this last week while we were sitting down with our good friend, Chaplain Dean, and we were kicking around some things and some struggles we were seeing amongst friends and coworkers and family, and thought that it would be a good topic to hit on. And that topic is the topic of prayer. I know we've talked about that a lot on our podcast, but not just the topic of prayer, but the topic of going on the offensive with our prayer and with the way that we go about our lives and battle the enemy and the enemy trying to find his way into our life. So,
yeah, it seems like a lot of times we just kind of sit back and wait and hope that everything's going to be, you know, hunky-dory. And so we enjoy the good times, but at the same time, we're not preparing for the battle, and we're not taking that battle to the enemy. And I think looking around at a lot of our friends, we're all in a state of warfare at one time or another, spiritual warfare. And I don't want to sit back and wait for that attack to come on me.
Yeah, I mean, we can sit back and we can all pray and we can all do the things that we're taught to do, but that enemy is angry. That enemy is constantly trying to find their way into our homes, into our lives, into our, you know, our workplaces, you know, every part of our life, the enemy's working. And so our thought was, if we go on the offensive and we seek out, not necessarily seek out the enemy, but seek out the enemy in prayer and in battle, you know, driving them back rather than waiting for them to hit us, you know, I think that's a different way of thinking for most people these days. We're mostly defensive. We're mostly, like Adam was saying, sit back and waiting for that battle to come to us before we battle back, before we hit back with prayer and with, you know, with our lives in those situations. So,
yeah, and if you don't think that we are under attack, well, I mean, really all you got to do is take a look around. Look at the number of suicides. Yeah. The number of suicides, not just among law enforcement. You know, I mean, obviously we talk about that because that's where we come from, and the suicide numbers are ridiculous. But I mean, the suicide numbers were higher than the officers killed by the enemy, right? So we are our own worst enemy right now, it seems like. And the more we move forward in this, the more I'm starting to see that we are under attack, because I think the devil knows that his time is short. He's flailing around, doing whatever he can to try and take us with him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in speaking, you know, about the suicide rate, you know, not just amongst the law enforcement and corrections, but amongst, you know, fire and dispatch and veterans. I mean, the veterans are astronomical when you look at the numbers there, but they're just starting to hit on, you know, the police and fire, and documenting those things. And even those are low because of the stigma surrounding it and the things that go into them. But I think I was reading the other day that the number of suicides in police and fire already this year are close to 20, if I was looking at it right. And I know I just read one this morning. There was another one in Chicago yesterday. A police detective took her life. So, you know, I think that's partly what the enemy is doing right now, that the enemy is attacking our self-worth and our, just our own self-worth, I guess is the best way to put that, of, you know, hey, you're no good. You're
and our
this,
hope.
You're that.
Yeah.
And our hope. Yeah.
Our hope. Yeah. For sure. Takes that hope away. And what do you have left? You got nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, we've seen some of our friends as well, you know, going through just personal struggles, whether that be with addiction, trauma, whether that be with their home lives, which a lot of these things contribute to breaking down. And I think that hopelessness comes with that when we sit back and wait for the enemy to tear apart our lives and don't take it on the offensive with that.
So to make this a little bit more personal, I think after we talked about this topic last week, I think that you and I kind of both came under attack. And then I think that's because the enemy knows that it's coming. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we should, you know, like James says, maybe we should rejoice in those times of troubles. But I mean, this verse here is probably the most obvious that comes to mind when we talk about this stuff, and it's Ephesians 6:12, and it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And I was thinking on the way up here, on the way to your house here, Steve, that I think a lot of our spiritual battles tend to manifest themselves in the physical realm. Oh, yeah. And by that, what I mean is we look at our struggles, our controversies between us and, say, our spouse, say, maybe our employer, the general public. We often fail to recognize that that's actually a spiritual battle that is manifesting itself here in the physical realm. And so we take that battle to the person or to the entity instead of taking that battle to them in prayer.
Yeah, sure. You know, and when we look at a lot of our prayer, and I can say this about my prayer in the past, is that a lot of what we would pray about are things that we want, or things that we think we need, or things that, you know, the earthly things that really don't matter in the long run. And I've learned to change my prayers more for, you know, my own spirituality, for my family's, you know, spiritual walk, for those things that the enemy really finds the foothold to drive that wedge and to build that doubt and that hopelessness and those things, so that, you know, my own relationship, not only with, you know, Christ, but with my family, can be built up through those things. So I think that's part of how we can bring our prayer to the offensive, you know, to support not only our own walk, but our families.
Yeah. So I've got some examples here, but first I want to talk about, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, not to me, but it's a thought I think that we often have, well, why should God answer our prayers? Why should he even hear our prayers? And something stuck out to me in my reading here last week, and it took me back to Exodus. And it's one of the very few places in the Bible where God actually describes himself. And so you know that this is going to be the most accurate description, because it comes from, you know, truth himself. And it's from Exodus 34, verse 6. And this is where Moses is on the mountain, and he tells God that he wants to see his glory. Well, God knows that if Moses were to see his entire glory, that it would kill him. So he allows him to hide in the cleft of a rock, and he's going to cover his face as God walks by, and then uncover as he is passing, so that Moses can see just, you know, the back.
Just a glimpse.
Yeah, just a quick glimpse. And at that time, God also tells him who he is. And he says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth.'" And it amazes me, and it's so encouraging to me, that the first two things that he describes himself as are merciful and gracious. So it seems to me that if this is an order of importance, which it sure is in my book, that God is merciful to us.
Right.
And he shows grace to us. Now, in case you're just tuning in for the, you know, one of your first times anyway, grace, you can remember as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. So when we say mercy and grace, when we talk about grace, we're talking about you receiving something that you don't deserve.
Yeah, sure.
And mercy is not receiving something that you do deserve, right? Mm-hmm. So God is somebody that we can pray for because he's merciful, and he's mercy himself, so it never runs out. And he's also gracious, and he's long-suffering, so he's very patient, very, very patient. So anyway, I want to go and talk about David and Goliath here a little bit, because if we're going to talk about taking the fight to the enemy, I think the first person that we should probably talk about is David.
Yeah, for sure.
So hopefully you all know the story of David and Goliath, or at least hopefully you know part of it. But to actually get to that story, we're going to go back to 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 17, prepared for this. And it starts at verse 45 here. And it said, "David said to the Philistine," speaking of Goliath, "'You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty,
the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give your carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So essentially, David goes up to fight this Goliath, who David's just a young guy. He's a shepherd. And Goliath is described as being like 9 feet, 9 inches tall, just this massive guy. His armor, I think, if I remember right, was something like 125 pounds. And the head of his spear weighed 15 pounds. So, I mean, the guy is massive. And for 40 days, he mocked Israel and waited for some warrior to come down and fight him. And mocked Israel, mocked their God. So what did David do when he saw this? He said, well, why are we all waiting back here? Why are we all sitting back here waiting for this enemy to come to us? I'm going to take it to the enemy.
Let's do this.
I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to take it to the enemy. So that's exactly what he did. And everybody knows the story there. He slung the rock, right? It nailed him in the forehead, falls down, cuts off his head, and he wins the war for Israel. As a young man.
The first documented reported sniper shot.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Here we go.
Not to make fun of it. But
here we go.
But yeah, I mean, just here's this kid that just has the strength and the courage that the Lord gave him and listened to the Lord and had that calling of, yeah, you are going to go and you are going to kill this guy who's probably, when we really look at it, 3 or 4 feet taller than David was. And outweighed him by hundreds of pounds, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this kid that just listened to the Lord and was obedient and, you know, just this great leader in the making, you know, that stepped up and then took it to the enemy at that point. So,
well, it kind of reminds me, I watched the Arnold Strongman competition, you know, the 19 Arnold Strongman competition, watching Halfdor Bjornsson.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's well over 400 pounds. I mean, the guy is massive.
Right.
And deadlifted, I want to say 1,055, something like that, 1,055 pounds. I mean, here's a guy who is huge.
Yeah.
By any standards.
That's the Goliath right there.
Yeah, and he's smaller than Goliath.
Yeah. Just think how strong Goliath was.
Yeah, and so... You see that guy standing next to a normal sized person, you know, there's a reason they call him the mountain. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I was thinking of, oddly enough, as I'm watching this competition is, well, if that guy's big, how big was Goliath?
Right.
And here's David. He's probably smaller than me.
Yeah.
So going up against a guy like that, I mean, fearless,
yeah.
Fearless. And it just makes you wonder, well, how big is God? Okay. And it reminds me of that quote. And this is a quote from Ben Corson. And it fits in the situation talking about the mountain, because Ben always says, don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell that mountain how big your God is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we come up against these spiritual battles, it's time to do battle on our knees. And don't take that the wrong way, but get on your knees and pray.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why. I mean, it's important. And I've talked about it a lot on these podcasts, but to start your day that way, and to end your day that way, if you can. And make it a point. You know, I'm not always the best at it. And, you know, I have times that I lack and I can actually tell when I lack, you know. If I look back at this last week I hadn't been the greatest at being diligent in my prayer and in my getting in the word, and that enemy wiggled right in there, you know, and kind of not only with my relationship with the Lord, but with my wife and those things, just I found that it wasn't what it is when I am spending that time. So,
yeah, I think time is one of our most precious. Oh my gosh, I can't talk.
Precious.
Precious.
Oh my precious.
Okay, moving on. Anyway, you know what I mean by that. Okay.
Time is precious.
Thank you.
That's what.
Thank you for talking normal. What did you put in my coffee?
Just honey. He asked for honey in his black coffee, just so you guys know.
Oh my gosh.
There's some debate there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know the guy anymore, so.
Go, yeah. Don't mock it until you try it. Put some honey in your coffee and be happy.
Right.
It's better than sugar. So yeah,
that's true.
Okay, we're getting way off track here, but that's okay. I mean, this is a podcast.
Yes. There can be some.
There's a reason we're not paid, I guess, right?
Welcome to this podcast. If you are first listening today, it's not always like this.
Yeah, it's usually worse. So, okay, getting back into it here. Now, if we want to talk a little bit more about David, he wrote the majority of the Psalms authors are, let's see, David, there's Solomon in there a little bit. Moses wrote some of them, but David is the most, the biggest contributor to the Psalms, I guess you could say. And one of the Psalms that I keep coming back to, and actually I think, Steve, we should put this on a t-shirt.
Like, okay.
Like for real, I think we should, is Psalm 28. And it's down here, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. Again, we see David talking about his armory, right? His articles of weaponry, and relating them to God. And I think we're going to find in the Old Testament that a lot of our spiritual battles are in physical form as we read the Old Testament. They're personified, right? And so we see all these battles. In fact, we go back and we talk about Joshua and his battle to take the promised land. When he went forward in battle, there was one time that he didn't pray about it, right? They just decided, okay, you know, you've been with us this far. I think it's natural for us to just kind of forget to do that. But God doesn't forget. And so as we take these steps forward in our battles, we got to seek the Lord first, because we don't know, okay, is this a fight that you want me to fight, Lord? Or is this something that you just want me to be still? Because over and over in the Bible, we see God say, be still, be still and know that I am God. So I think that I'm learning as we go here, and I'm a slow learner, but I'm learning as we go here that if I don't seek him first before I go and take the fight to the enemy, that I'm doing this stuff in my own will.
Yeah, for sure.
And so often I do things in my own will and it ends up setting me back. And I could point out times at work, but I'm not going to, but I can point out times at work where I've decided, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm going to take it upon myself to go ahead and I guess impose my will on this situation. And it always ends up in disaster. Backfires.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, that's our own nature without the Lord, is to take things upon us and to feel like we can control situations and do certain things. And a lot of us don't learn those lessons or don't have the tools to learn those lessons early on or even late on in life. You know, that having the Lord in your plans and in your planning for the battle or planning for whatever it is that you're planning for, the Lord's hand in it is what we need to have, and is always going to steady that plan and give you the wisdom of where that plan is supposed to go. Like you said, whether it is in the battle or whether it is to sit and be still and just pray and ponder, you know, what the Lord's telling you or trying to tell you to do.
Yeah. So let's take a step back here just for a minute. We talk a lot about prayer. We're talking about taking the fight to the enemy. Let's talk about what that battle is and how it affects us. I think we have a tendency to minimize what it is we're going through. I can sit back and say, okay, my work situation is not where I want it to be. I'm struggling. You know, maybe I'm dealing with something that I saw on the job or a case that I worked. Maybe if I'm a firefighter, it's this horrific incident that I had to go and take care of and handle. And I have a tendency to minimize that. I can say, well, that's certainly not as bad as what Steve went through. You know, maybe that was hard for me, but there's coronavirus in China. Okay.
Right.
Steve had to deal with this case. And why does this affect me so much? Am I weak? We have a tendency to do that, I think, and that's wrong.
Absolutely. we do have a tendency to say, okay, I'm weak. I, for whatever reason, I should be able to handle this, right? I mean, I'm a cop, I'm a whatever. And I'm, you know, I should have this iron will that I can, you know, impose on everything, you know, that can make everything go away. But there are so many different battles. I mean, you're talking about work battles and talking about maybe things that we've seen. But you look across the board, there are so many different battles that people are dealing with. And it all kind of depends on what we turn that battle into and what we turn to help us through those battles. Right. Obviously, you know, we want to tell everybody, hey, turn to the Lord, you know, when you're battling those things. But there's so many things that guys turn to, whether it be, or guys and gals. I mean, it's not just men, but, you know, whether that be other men or women, whether that be gambling, whether that be drugs, whether that be alcohol, whether that be porn, whether that be excessively working out and going to the gym.
TV,
social media. Yeah. I mean, you find all these things that we turn to try and numb ourselves to what's going on, when in fact we could turn to the one who created us and knows us the best in prayer and in being still and getting on our knees and just spending that time and making that time to do that, and getting those answers so that we don't have to rely on something to numb our physical bodies. Yeah. And the reactions that we're having.
Yeah. And the point is, not every battle is going to be Bunker Hill or whatever. Not every battle is going to be me having to deadlift 1,000 pounds, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, your hardest battle is going to be different than my hardest battle.
Absolutely.
And maybe yours is different in a harder way. Maybe it's not. Most likely it is, because I know you. But anyway, the point is, God meets us where we are, regardless of how hard that battle is going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
If I need help lifting 1,000 pounds, God's going to be there with me, lifting, you know, 800 of it. Because, right. You know, I'm not massive. But the point is, we need to stop minimizing what we're going through and realizing that regardless of what it is, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it sucks at the time that we're going through it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's going to be for our own good. And we're going to come out the other side better for it if we handle it the right way.
Yeah. And we're kind of in that, and I know this has probably been going on forever, but we're in that time of where our relationships are so scattered right now. And you know, you see somebody in passing or somebody you even call a friend or a family member and you ask them, how are you doing? And you get the fine. And you're like, okay, cool. They're fine. You know, a lot of the times, you know, I've been trying to make it a point that when I ask people that question, I'll follow up with it, knowing what fine means. You know, I know there's some different acronyms and those kind of things for fine, which we won't get into, but a lot of them are very accurate. That fine is I don't really want to talk about it, you know, so I'm just going to say I'm fine. And the people that I truly know, that when I hear them say that, I dig further. No, really, how are you? Or, you know, how's your relationship with the Lord right now? How's your faith walk right now? How's your relationship with your family right now? Trying to get a little deeper, because people don't want to talk about going deeper. And for two, it's not common for people to want to ask those questions, just because we're so busy and we want to move on to the next thing and not spend time where we could spend it somewhere else. But as a Christian, I think that's part of taking the fight to the enemy, because when people get in those ruts, a lot of them, and I've done it myself, I'll isolate myself, and I know people isolate. So if you ask those follow-up questions, it's not allowing them to isolate, or at least showing them that you care enough to ask those follow-up questions to pull them out of that isolation a little bit. So I think that's another way that we can go on the offensive, to not let people have that hopelessness and that isolation where they kind of fall into the mire of their situations.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and there's power in that. Power in bringing more than one person into it. Mm-hmm. We see that a lot in the Bible. I mean,
there's that verse about when two or more people are gathering in my name, I'm among them. Now, granted, that was kind of in the context of, you know, pulling somebody who was involved in sin, you know, out of the dealing with that in the church. But it,
yeah,
it's the same as you and I coming together and talking about our issues. And yeah, Steve, you do isolate.
Absolutely.
And you shut down. So in case you haven't noticed that, I'm glad you do.
It's so, self-awareness, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Crickets. I'm great.
Crickets.
Yeah, I'm great.
Yeah. Golfing in the sunshine. Leave me alone.
Right. So yeah, you know, I mean, our thought with this today is to, like we normally do, you know, we pray a lot about what to bring to everybody that tunes in. And this was one that really, Adam brought it up, and it was like, yeah, we need to talk about that. You know, that is something that I struggle with, that I think a lot of our listeners struggle with, just the being on the defensive and waiting for the attack to come to them, and changing that mindset of, you know, I don't have to do that. I don't have to wait until I'm in that valley to really start reaching out and taking the battle to the enemy with that. So,
yeah. And I think we can personify this just a little bit more. So this last week we talked about that, and we talked about it mainly in the context of Dean. If you haven't listened to that podcast, that's the previous one. We talked about that in his context about how we needed to go on the offensive because his family has been under so much attack lately. Mm-hmm. And we pray about it. And at a certain point, I had to go in the living room, and my prayer time is in the evening. Mm-hmm. My prayer time is at night when everybody's gone to bed. And that is the time when I can go out in the living room and I can speak out loud.
Yeah.
I don't have a big house. I don't have a prayer closet. So that's where I go. And so that's where I do my battles, right? And I actually have to go before the Lord. I say, Lord, this is what I've got going on. And then sometimes I'll even speak to the enemy if I feel like that's what God's calling me to do. And I'll say, Lord, rebuke you. Now, I'm not going to go and say, hey, get out in my name, because mm-hmm. that's going to do me zero good. But when I'm talking to the enemy, I'm bringing God with me. And I'm letting God do my battles, but I'm speaking that out.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, last week was a rough week after we talked about this.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what it is these things that I've dealt with on patrol. Mm-hmm. So I dealt with a lot of junk on patrol, and then I got to leave patrol.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go and be a detective and do something completely different.
Yeah.
And then, surprise, I had to go back to patrol. And then all this stuff came back that I haven't dealt with.
Right.
And so I'm dealing with this stuff on patrol this week, along with some other things that are coming up. Stuff that normally wouldn't do much.
Yeah.
Stuff that's just kind of stupid when you take a step back and look at it. But at the time, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dealing with anxiety. I'm dealing with just stupid emotions, right? I hate emotions. I'm a man. I don't have emotions. Okay. But I'm dealing with this junk, and it's kind of hitting me that I'm going to have to do battle. And then for some reason, this verse pops up on my phone as a verse of the day. And it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Yeah.
And that's 1 Peter 5:7. And I have seen it twice since then.
Wow.
So, I mean, this isn't coincidence, and it's not just for me. And so that's why I'm sharing it today, is because we all deal with this junk, whether it's big or small. If it matters to us, it matters to God.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to bring it to him in prayer, and I'm not going to sit back and let the enemy take control of of my life.
Yep.
I'm going to take it to God, who actually cares for me. I look at my kids, and you can look at your kids, and you say, man, I care so much for them.
Yeah.
I want the absolute best for them in every way. And God is so much more a father than I am.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean,
What is that supposed to mean? You don't think I'm a good dad?
No, yeah, you are.
I'm just kidding.
It's okay. We can admit it. But, you know, I mean, when you look at it, you have a Lord who is so merciful and so gracious. And I look at things that my kids do that on a rough day, or even on a normal day, that when they act out, I lose my patience. I, you know, and just the things that I lose my patience for when I put it into context is just so silly and just so ridiculous when I know the things that I've put the Lord through, and that I know things that we as people put the Lord through, and the things that he forgives and he's merciful for, and that he is so gracious with, that it's just, yeah, it's ridiculous. It puts it in perspective for me, you know, to be more patient, be more forgiving, be more gracious with my family and with my kids and the people I come in contact with. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I really have anything to add.
Okay.
I mean, I just thought we'd finish with a little encouragement. Yeah, we're going through these hard times. The war's already been won, but the battles do continue.
Yeah, for sure.
The battles do continue, but there is an end in sight.
Mm-hmm. Until that day comes, the enemy is going to scratch and claw and do everything he can. And it's important on our end to make sure we lean on the Lord, and that we turn to the one who can deliver us from that, and who can help us through those times and give us those encouragement and that plan of, you know, that we know who he is and who we have that relationship with and how amazing he is in our lives. So
yeah, for sure.
So with that,
well, let's talk a little bit about what we got going on, Steve.
Okay. All right. So, as many of you saw, we are up and live with stickers that are for purchase on Instagram and on Facebook. Those are out there. If you click on either the bio of either one of those pages, you can find them. What I want to preface this with is that me and Adam do this as just servants of the Lord, as vessels for him. We're not looking to make money off of anything. And in fact, the money that we do, the little bit of money that we do make on like the stickers, is going to go right back into putting the word back out, whether that be with the podcast or whether that be with future products, shirts, hats, those kind of things. So I know sometimes it gets lost in the whole wanting to make money off of things, but we just want to make sure that that's out with all of you, that that's not what we are doing this for, and it never has been.
Yeah. Otherwise we'd have accepted some advertisers by now, because right. that's already been a possibility, but,
right.
but we decided to shoot that down in the beginning, and we've already agreed. And we actually have some folks that we are partnering with to keep us, what's the word I'm looking for?
Keep us grounded,
yeah. Keep us honest, keep us, transparent. Mm-hmm. And so the majority of the money that does come in, we haven't made enough money to even start doing anything yet. But when the time comes that there is money available outside of being reinvested, it'll go to nonprofits or mm-hmm. ministries of some kind yeah. that the Lord will show us.
And it has, when the time it's comes. Been put on our heart pretty heavy recently, just about the suicide epidemic with, mm-hmm. you know, with the thin line. So I know that's where our heart is right now. So anything that's not reinvested will go out to some of those outreaches and those nonprofits to help folks, whether it be with suicide or with, you know, trauma-related stuff or addictions or whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's going to go back out. It's not our money. It never will be our money. We know that this is the Lord's work and his hand on what is happening. So we want to make sure we honor that.
Yeah, so we would appreciate some prayer in this actually moving forward. And that's how all of you can partner with us in this. Is through prayer. Our intent is to put out some shirts and that kind of thing that don't promote us so much, but promote God.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of promoting, if you do think that this podcast is beneficial, our biggest platform for this is Apple iTunes, I guess, mm-hmm. or Apple Podcasts, whatever it is.
Yeah,
that's actually our biggest platform. So if you're listening to us on that, please give us a rating. Hopefully a good one. Hopefully we're not disappointing you too much. And in the future, if there's somebody you'd like us to interview, send them our way. We'll filter who we do and don't interview, and want to make sure that you're receiving some positive, truthful content.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that, I think that about wraps it up. God bless you all in this week.
hopefully we'll have some more good stuff for you next week. And in the meantime, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Thin Line Believers. And someday in the future, we'll have thinlinebelievers.com. We own the domain. We don't have a website yet, but that'll be up before too long.
It's all coming. All right. Have a blessed week.